World Cup.
Kim, following a rest day on Sunday, the Women's World Cup football tournament is back in action Monday night with the final round of games in Groups A and B. Host Canada currently leads Group A with 4 points, followed by China and the Netherlands, who both have 3 points. New Zealand sits in last with 1 point and a slim chance of advancing. Tonight, we'll find out which of these teams will be joining Brazil in the round of 16 when Canada plays the Netherlands and China takes on New Zealand. Meanwhile, in Group B, Germany and Norway are undefeated and tied for first with 4 points. Thailand is right behind them with 3, while the already eliminated Ivory Coast rounds out the group with 0 points. The Ivorian ladies have a consolation game against Norway tonight, and Germany will take on Thailand for the right to advance to the final 16. This 7th edition of the Women's World Cup features an expanded field of 24 teams, up from 16 at the 2011 tournament, which was hosted by Germany. Mark Parsons is the British head coach of the Washington Spirit Club in the National Women's Soccer League. VOA's Jonah Haskell asked him, is the expanded field of 24 teams a positive for women's football going forward?
It's 100% going to be positive. I think you have to dangle the carrot. You know, there's a few countries that might have been blown out, a few more that will be blown out. I can't remember the Brazil-Germany score in the men's game. There was a blowout there in the men's game. So it's those things happen. But here in the women's game, they say those blowouts happened by having the carrot of going to a World Cup and seeing it and watching a country embrace it, and the support, the financial support and technical support that country will get after this World Cup should be big. And the exposure to grow the women's game in whatever country, you know, that has made, because of the more teams, maybe the team that isn't as experienced, maybe they're now at the World Cup. I think it's only positive because their momentum after this, it will be huge. And I'm sure it will encourage the country as a whole to invest more in women's soccer. And the more teams you can get there. And the level, the women's soccer, the level has grown in the last, just in 4 years. It has gone through the roof in the best teams getting better, and then the depth, the amount of teams this year, now, in this World Cup, that can beat anyone on any day is more than I think it's ever been. I think there are 10 to 15 dangerous teams. Now, I'm not saying 10 to 15 can win the whole competition, but 10 to 15 that can win a game on any day. I mean, there's other teams. There's other teams like Spain that are definitely very talented. So I think it's a very good thing, and it's why it's making this World Cup very exciting.
Well, the big controversy of this World Cup, I guess, has been the use of artificial turf instead of live grass. I know several big stars spoke out openly against it. The Spirit play their home games on grass, but you guys play on a bunch of different turf fields around the league. So how does using turf as opposed to a natural surface affect the game? And do you think that, you know, these big stars that protested, were they justified in protesting?
The ball moves different on turf over grass. The game is different over turf and grass. Yes, obviously in the top leagues, men's, women's, turf is used at certain or specific stadiums. But there is no excuse for it being used at a World Cup. There's no way. It's heartbreaking that this major tournament is being played on turf. It's heartbreaking. That's the bottom line. And it's now about making sure it doesn't happen again. Everyone across the world making sure, because it's not showcasing what the game could be at its highest level. And if the level is only 1% less, or whether it's 50% less, it's not the same, and it should be on grass. And but I think it's more about now being proactive and making sure this doesn't happen again, because it is different. For us in our world, sure, we're going to play on turf. In other leagues, top leagues, it's turf. That's understandable. Climates, different resources, men's, women's game. But not at the World Cup. It can't happen, and I just hope that it doesn't happen again.
That's Mark Parsons, the head coach of the Washington Spirit Club in the National Women's Soccer League. And Coach Parsons was talking with VOA's Jonah Haskell here in the Washington area. Meanwhile, neighbors Mali and Senegal will feature in Wednesday's semifinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup for men in New Zealand. Mamadou Thiam scored his second goal of the tournament as Senegal defeated Uzbekistan 1-0 in the quarterfinals. On Wednesday, Senegal will hope to pull off an upset against a strong Brazil team in the semifinals. And speaking of upsets, Mali has been the surprise team of the tournament so far, having already shocked Ghana and Mexico. And the Malian boys were at it again on Sunday in their quarterfinal. The Malians played very well against a talented German team for the full 90 minutes in extra time before winning the game in a penalty kick shootout. Mali will now play Serbia, who defeated the USA in the quarterfinals, for a chance to reach the finals of the Under-20 World Cup for the first time.
Voice of America!
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It was a busy weekend in African football. There were 25 qualifying matches played for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will be hosted by Gabon. Joining us now with all the results is the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, who kicks off with a big win by the Black Stars of Ghana.
Ghana overpowered Mauritius 7-1 in 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers in Accra on Sunday. Cameroon edged Mauritania 1-0. Togo beat Liberia 2-1. Egypt dismissed Tanzania 3-0. Republic of Congo and Kenya drew 1-1, as did Equatorial Guinea and Benin. Rwanda pipped Mozambique 1-0. The Democratic Republic of Congo beat Madagascar 2-1. Sudan edged Sierra Leone 1-0. Ethiopia outplayed Lesotho 2-1. And Niger beat Namibia 1-0. Early on Saturday, Cape Verde Islands thrashed Sao Tome and Principe 7-1. Uganda beat Botswana 2-0. Zimbabwe pipped Malawi 2-1. Nigeria outplayed Chad 2-0. South Africa and Gambia drew 0-0, as did Zambia and Guinea-Bissau. Senegal dismissed Burundi 3-1. Algeria trounced Seychelles 4-0. Mali beat South Sudan 2-0. Angola mauled the Central African Republic 4-0, as Burkina Faso beat Comoro Islands 2-0. On Friday, Swaziland edged Guinea 2-1. Tunisia crushed Djibouti 8-1, as Morocco pipped Libya 1-0.
Thanks, Mark. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Mark mentioned Tunisia crushing visiting Djibouti 8-1. That was the most lopsided result from the weekend in 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying. Tunisia's captain, Yassine Chikiaoui, scored 3 first-half goals for the Carthage Eagles. Let's also give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Ghana's captain, Asamoah John, who had 2 first-half goals in that 7-1 mauling of Mauritius in Accra. Jordan Ayew, one of the sons of Ghanaian football great Abedi Pele, also scored 2 first-half goals in that match. 4 other players also had braces in Nations Cup qualifying matches over the weekend. El Arbi Hilal Sidani of Algeria, Gelson from Angola, Janini from the Cape Verde Islands, and Tony Sabedze from Swaziland.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Join with leaders like President Sirleaf.
Malaria stops footballers from scoring and students from learning.
And join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
United, we can beat malaria.
The voice.
In pro basketball, the Golden State Warriors are one victory away from their first NBA title in 40 years. The Warriors beat the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers Sunday night 104-91 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. NBA Most Valuable Player Stephen Curry had his best game in the championship series. Steph scored 37 points, including 7 three-point shots. Curry talks about his team's attitude ahead of Game 6 on Tuesday night in Cleveland.
Long season goes into these last moments of a final series, and we fought hard all year and put ourselves in good position now to go to Cleveland and hopefully close it out. So we're confident. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're the locker room, if you walked in there, was the exact same after a regular season win. But we know this, you know, the sense of urgency of the moment, and it's a good feeling to get a win in Cleveland and understand we can get it done and how we need to get it done. So ready for the opportunity.
And while Steph Curry is ready for the opportunity, Cleveland superstar LeBron James says he doesn't want the Warriors celebrating on his home floor Tuesday night. LeBron had another tremendous all-around game Sunday night, scoring 40 points, grabbing 14 rebounds, and passing for 11 assists. But it wasn't enough to get the win. LeBron says the Cavs do have enough to win Game 6 and send the series back to California for the decisive Game 7, which, if necessary, will be played Friday night. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Back to Yahias Wuhib and Kim Lewis.
Thank you, Sonny. And listen to the sunny side of